We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are glad you are back, and thanks for taking a listen to us, the Bill Michaels Show. We continue on this portion of the program. I can say Cousin Subs has been around 45 years, and they've been grilling them up, serving them up. Their lineup includes a cheesesteak, Philly, bacon cheddar, bacon mushroom Swiss, all that kind of good stuff, including the Bill Michaels, the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese, all on that freshly baked bread. So good. So good. Go for the Wisconsin cheese curds, the fries. They've got many different sides. You can order online for pickup or delivery, which is now available at select locations. That's CousinSubs.com. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we are going to be talking with Matt Kenseth, the former NASCAR driver, and we'll talk with him about retirement, also about Road America, because Road America and the Xfinity Series is going to come a-calling this weekend, and I'm going to be broadcasting live there on Friday coming up this week. I love going to Road America. I just do. It's like a day where you're not in the office, and even though you're on the air, it's just your front porch, right out of your... I mean, literally, 20 yards from me is the start-finish line as cars go roaring past. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk with Matt coming up here momentarily. He should be giving us a buzz here any minute. But I did get some reaction from many of you when we went back to Pro Football Focus's ranking of the top quarterbacks coming into this season, where they may rank. One of them was, I can't believe that Dak Prescott is not higher on that list. He's been impressive ever since he came into the league. Dak Prescott, by the way, ranked 17th. So this is a guy, don't forget, that turned down $30 million a year. $30 million a year and wants $40 million a year. And he's ranked 17th. You know who he's ranked just above? Jimmy Garoppolo, whose quarterback rating last night was zero. He's ranked two above Derek Carr and three above Andy Dalton of the Cincinnati Bengals. Come on, man. Come on. How can Dak Prescott sit there and think that he's... I guess, you know, timing is everything if you think you're worth $40 million. What I am surprised about is Cam Newton is 16th. You know what I mean? They say the definition of a volatile down-to-down quarterback, Newton has ranked in the top 10 just twice in his career. His 86.5% grade during his MVP campaign of 2015 is the only year where he graded above an 80, despite the fact that he has the second highest percentage of positively graded throws since entering the league in 2011, annually ranking among the worst at avoiding the negative. Last season saw a style change that led Newton to rank 10th in the league in passer rating and 14th in the Pro Football Focus grade, as his average pass traveled about 3 yards shorter per attempt than we're used to seeing from him. He also eliminated a lot of the turnovers. Injuries aided in his second half decline, but it remains to be seen if Newton can sustain his success with a different style, you know, that saw him rank just 32nd in big-time throw percentages. Normally a big part of his game and an explosive element that is needed for the Panthers, and he hasn't been able to give them that consistently. So it's going to be interesting. Now, as we go through the top, I already gave you the top 10. For those that are just kind of tuning in, Tom Brady, number one, Drew Brees, two, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, number four, Andrew Luck, number five, then Russell Wilson, which I can understand, Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons, Ben Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, and Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield. After three elite years of college grading, Mayfield carried a strong play into the NFL, where he finished with the number 10 grade at 84.5. Mayfield finished second in big-time throw percentage last year, and his excellent college accuracy, that transferred over to the pro game as he finished sixth in the overall accuracy charting. So Baker Mayfield, number 10. We'll talk more about this coming up. I do want to get into some racing, and I love Road America, and I love the fact that if you're going to go to anybody with racing knowledge in the state of Wisconsin, you go to the top dog. That is our buddy Matt Kenseth now joining us. Matt, how you been, my friend?
Hey, doing good, Bill. How are you?
We are doing well. How's retirement treating you?
It's not bad. It's been been a good summer. It's been a lot of fun.
Are you? I would assume you're still out traveling. You're speaking. You're involved in racing in some way, shape, or form. Correct?
Not really.
Really?
Pretty much took most of the summer off. So I did run a couple short track races. I ran Slinger Nationals here last month, and then I ran up at Madison, Wisconsin last Friday. But that's really the only thing I've done that's been, really around the sport at all. I haven't really been to a race or really done much else. So really just enjoyed the summer with Katie and the kid, and just kind of just woke up every day and found a new adventure. It was pretty fun.
How did you like racing at Slinger? Actually, I've always said racing at Slinger, and I had a chance to drive in a couple of different like celebrity races and stuff out there, and I drove a super late model car, and that's like racing in a salad bowl.
Yeah, it's a fun little track. It's not a track where you can let your guard down or not pay attention for a couple seconds, that's for sure. Stuff happens really fast there. I remember when I first started going there and racing. And from then until now, it hasn't really changed that much. It's always intense, and you gotta bring your A game whenever you go there, for sure.
So we have the Xfinity Series that's going to come a call in into Wisconsin this weekend up at Road America. What kind of challenges does Road America present? It's such a beautiful course as opposed to a place like out in Sonoma. It's so much different, even though it's a road course. But what kind of challenges does it present?
Yeah, you're not going to believe this, but I've never raced at Road America. This will be my first trip to Road America for a race, so looking forward to going up with the guys from C-Tech and checking out the race and seeing what it's all about and see some fans and some customers and do all that stuff. But I have never been to a race up there, much less drove on the track. The only time I ever been there is one year I was on a Kyle Petty charity ride, and we rode our motorcycles through Elkhart Lake, and then going out to the racetrack, and I think did a partial lap or something on our motorcycles. But that's the only time I've been there.
Wow. Now, see, last year before I got married, Mario Andretti and then Ari Leyendyke Jr. took my wife and I in the IndyCar two-seaters through that track.
Awesome.
And have you ever been in an IndyCar? You ever drove any car?
I have not.
Okay, that's a whole weird experience because you do everything you can just to breathe. I would assume it's kind of the same thing hitting 200 miles an hour coming down the straightaway at Indianapolis, but in a NASCAR. But it just you have to learn how to breathe. I mean, you couldn't even breathe in that thing. But I've never experienced anything like that. The undulation in that track is amazing. So man, that's cool that you're going to get. Well, I've done something you haven't. This is fantastic.
I'm hoping maybe someday I'll still get a chance to race there or something, but Xfinity race looks like fun. But like I said, I think this is a good first step. I'll be able to go check it out. But I bet that ride in IndyCar was really fun. I don't know that I would want to ride with somebody else. I would like to be in control, but I think driving around there and it would be pretty fun.
Yeah, it was amazing. Now, so how much are you one of these guys that, now that you're away from it, you're not watching it on weekends and not really paying attention to it, or are you still looking over that fence?
Just kind of more of a casual fan, I guess I would say. I still have a lot of friends that are, that are racing and are on teams and stuff like that. So you kind of check out and see how they do. And, if I'm home and we don't have anything going on, I certainly turn on and watch it. Look forward to watching some of them, like Bristol and the road courses. And there's certain ones that, you like to see them all, but certain ones you like to see more than others. But other than that, like I said, we've been traveling a lot this summer and, haven't really had a lot of couch time to sit and turn the TV on and watch the whole races. So I've seen bits and pieces of quite a few. I maybe watched one or two, I guess, in entirety.
I know when you talked about this being your final year last year that we talked about what you're going to do, and it was kind of like a little bit of an unknown. It sounds like you're really enjoying yourself.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I think it's always an adjustment. So I think the first few months of the year were probably, a little bit rough. And then, as time goes on, it definitely gets better. And when the kids got out of school, it was like I said, we had a lot of fun traveling around, and now that they're back in school, it's a little different when they're out of the house all day, for sure. But I'm sure something's still gonna come around eventually. But like I said, I just really took this summer and just tried not to think about what was next professionally or anything like that, and just really focus on my family and having fun.
So does this mean we are going to have a guest commentator after a Packers game over at Hinterland with Gary Ellerson and myself, that maybe one of the Kenseth members may stroll over and say, hey, I'll sit down with you for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, that would be fun. Send the invite over.
Come on! Hell yeah, Matt. You know that. You're the biggest Packer racing fan that's out there, dude. Anytime you want to come over and join us, go to a game and come on over. We'll buy you dinner after the fact. Come on over and hang out with us for a little while. That'd be great.
Sounds like fun. Let's get that worked out for this.
Whenever you want to go, you let me know. Joe's got your number. We'd be happy to get you up there and just you kind of hang with us. I mean, who knows? You got access down to the sidelines. You can get a better view than we can, for God's sakes.
I don't know that I really do anymore.
They forget about you once you go away, don't they?
Yeah.
Hey, so what's next? I mean, obviously, you've got a wealth of knowledge. Are teams tapping you for anything? Is there anybody? Would you like to get back into it? Would you like to work on cars? Would you like to wrench a little bit, work with crew chiefs or commentator? What are your thoughts moving forward?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't really know. I haven't had anything to do with really any race teams at all this year since Homestead last year. You know, when I ran my last race with Roush, I really haven't really had anything to do with any teams or really been involved really in the sport at all, to be totally honest with you. So so I don't know. You never know what'll pop up someday. Maybe something will pop up and kind of pique your interest, and it'll be something you want to be involved in and go do or go try and do it for a while. And maybe not. I don't really know. I guess I haven't really been actively searching for anything, I guess, at the moment.
Hey, I do got to ask you, as a guy that, like you said, you're out with the family and the kids and traveling around. Boy, it had to like make you stop and pause for a minute when you read about the airplane accident with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his family on that plane, right?
Yeah, that was really scary. They were very fortunate to, from the things that I've seen and heard and stuff like that, they're very fortunate to get out of there the way they did. That was pretty frightening, to say the least.
Well, I do like your speakers page and your excellence page and all the stuff that they send us. Not that I didn't know all this stuff already, but you look mighty dapper in your Citizens Watch and with Jay Leno and all that kind of stuff. You're pretty cool, man. You led a cool life.
I have no idea what they sent you. I've probably never seen it, but thanks. Yeah.
Well, one picture you look like the grizzled veteran with the beard, and then the next picture is like when you were 12 or something, sitting on your first car. It's the lifestyle. There you go.
Yeah, Matt, a little bit of everything.
Matt, it's always a pleasure. Hey, seriously, if you want to come up to, if you're going to be at Lambeau, man, let me know or touch base with Joe or whatever. We'd love to have you on and hook up and say hello and maybe grab you dinner after the fact. But as one of the biggest Packer fans out there, we'd love to do it.
Yeah, I'd love to do it sometime. Songs are great.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon, okay?
All right. See you
there. You go. Matt Kenseth joining us for a couple of minutes. NASCAR driver, now retired, enjoying his life, and drove with Joe Gibbs Racing for many, many years, and now just kind of out. I can't believe he's never driven at Road America. That blew me away. I thought look, there's a couple of places in the state of Wisconsin growing up as a kid when you're racing, you want to drive. You know, obviously you want to drive the lacrosse track, you want to go to Slinger, you want to go to some of the smaller tracks, you know, out in Madison. You want to go to these tracks. You want to get around. But you want to drive at Road America, and you want to drive at the Milwaukee Mile. Those are the two places you want to go. You want to get on that track at some point and go, look what I'm doing with some big-time stands and big-time people watching me. That's where you want. I can't believe he's never driven at Road America. Never driven at Road America. That just blows me away. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by New Mail Medical. Treating guys with ED all over the state and well beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate. Hey, the fall is coming, right? You're going to start hanging out indoors. Even though you're wearing the bigger clothes and it's a little burly and maybe that tummy fits inside there, who cares? Start a new you right here, right now, because you know the holidays are around the corner. You're going to pack on even more weight. By the time you get to the new year, you're going to look like a futon with feet. You don't want to do that. Go ahead and give them a call. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Do what I did. Make the switch. Invest in a new you. It's that simple. Also with low T treatments for better energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. Check out our friends at New Mail Medical. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad you are back. Hey, thanks to our friends over at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, helping us out continuously, whether it's on our motorcycle ride coming up September 1st, Sunday, September 1st, which please be a part of. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com and find out the information. We register the day of. from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Milwaukee Brewing in downtown Milwaukee. Please, please, please come out and join us if you can. Bud Light has been a proud sponsor of that for a long, long time. We can't do it without them. We can't do it without you. So please come out and join us, won't you? Also, thanks to our friends at Concordia University and the Veterans Affairs Department, because they've been a big part of it as well. Also, our friends at Stoley's Hog Alley, they're great. I mean, Jeff and his whole crew out there, they do a great job. They're actually one of the stops on our ride this year. And also our friends at Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Sean and the whole staff are fantastic, and they're gaining more business every day because they're dealing with people in the state of Wisconsin. That's who they deal with. That's where they're located, as opposed to some of the ones coming from outside. Plus, they have a special right now where if you're getting a big room done with the floor, they'll offer to paint your walls for free. Make that room brand new. Get all the details. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. But please get signed up for our motorcycle ride, which is presented by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, he's back at practice on Monday. How's that back feeling?
I felt pretty good.
There you go. That's it. Not talking anymore about it. Asked when he did first have, you know, kind of the back issue.
Oh, yeah, it kind of locked up on me last week. So I was just going through treatment Wednesday and Thursday and morning of the game. And then, you know, just trying to, just slowly feeling better every day. Thought about practicing yesterday, but, you know, today was kind of a better option for me. Felt good out there.
So he's feeling better. I don't like the fact that he says it locked up on him. That's not good. So the question is, do you think you're going to play against the Raiders?
That just depends on Matt and what he wants to do with us.
He just doesn't sound like he wants to play, and just that's it. He also talks about how his backups are doing, how DeShone Kizer, Tim Boyle, Manny Wilkins, how they performed during the preseason so far.
Yeah, they've had some really good moments. You know, the key with any backup is to try and find that consistency within a game because there's so many moving pieces in front of you. Most of the time, you're going to see different lines. You know, there's different guys blocking in front of you. DeShone got to go with the ones. Tim had a mixture of twos and threes with, I think, Lane and Elton were rotating in. So there's so many moving pieces in front of you that the key is just to, you know, be good on the communication and look for your matchups that you like. But I think they've really done some nice things. It'd be nice to get Manny some more throws because I think he's had a really nice camp. You know, he's very athletic. He does some great things in and out of the pocket. Maybe week four he'll get some more opportunities. But I think Tim and DeShone have played really, really well. And, they're making it look like the way you want it to look.
So there you go, Aaron Rodgers talking about the backups. When he was asked about how the offense is somewhat coming along, he says, it's been better. And he takes another shot at the joint practices since the Texans left town.
Well, I think ever since, we kind of broke practices with the Texans, we've kind of fast-forwarded some of our stuff in the offense. And, you know, as you guys can see from practice, there's different periods that we're working on where we're doing some tempo stuff. We have a no-huddle package in. You know, I think we're doing some really fun stuff with our installs. And that's when the offense starts to get exciting, as you can see the possibilities within the scheme that we've put in. And so I really like the way we've practiced, especially the last 3 days I've been at practice. So last week, Monday and Tuesday, and then today.
So there you go. Even talking about kind of the offense, but in doing so, he's kind of like, well, since the Texans left, we're able to actually practice again, you know, that kind of thing. He was asked about, kind of just based on what he's got, that receiving core, is this one of the better that you've had? Top to bottom, is this one of the better that you've had?
Just on resumes? I mean, I can't put it up there as the best receiving group we've had based on resumes. I think it's definitely one of the deeper groups that we've had. There's a lot of guys with legitimate shots to make the team. Some guys who you didn't maybe think of before camp who've had incredible camps. And I'm talking about specifically Alan Lazard. I think he's had a really nice camp. He's made a bunch of plays. He's always showing up on special teams. He does things the right way in practice. And I think he's put himself in a position to legitimately be playing for all 32 teams. And we say that from time to time. you know, the cliche almost that, you know, you're always playing for the entire NFL. And, you know, that is true to a point if you're good enough. And Allen is definitely good enough to be an NFL player. And I think he's had a fantastic training camp. Besides him, you know, I think that there's been a lot of progress. Almost, I was thinking about it the other night, almost quietly, I think EQ has had a really nice camp. I think he's been very consistent. And we haven't talked about him a lot, which in this case is actually a positive because it's almost like, yeah, well, he's on the squad. You know, he's been that good. I think it's almost been an understated, really solid camp for him. Obviously, MVS has really jumped up and played well. I think Geronimo, you know, has really looked like himself. You know, he's made a number of plays where you're like, okay, yeah, that's the GMO that I remember from 16 and 17, making plays down the field and running routes and getting open. I think that Jamon has improved. You know, the thing I'm most happy with him about is, you know, we've been harping on him about his finish and his ball security. And you watch some of the plays he's made, he's catching the ball, he's tucking it, he's exploding. That's what you want to see. Jake, obviously, you know, every game he makes plays. So there's not much else to say about him. I think Darius Shepherd has obviously made some plays. We need more consistency from him every single day. But what he's done on offense and then now on special teams, again, he's put himself in position to have an opportunity. So I'm excited about that group. There's a lot of, more than any other year, I think, there's just so much competition for spots, you know, four through whatever it might be, and that's pretty exciting.
Also, Aaron Rodgers was asked if kind of the marriage between the run and the pass, and, you know, when we talked to, you know, and you're going to hear more of this coming up from Kevin Harlan, but we were talking about this earlier, about how the offense really begins to flow once the run game gets established. So where is the run game right now?
Well, we haven't had Jones or Williams. In their absence, I think, you know, there's been some good play from some of those guys. The marriage is not necessarily all about production. It's about what it looks like. And I think that's the beauty in this scheme and this offense is that the runs and the passes and the splits and the movement really ties together. And that's the beauty in it. Obviously, a play-action game is going to be improved when you're running the ball effectively, as we saw the other night. You know, maybe our most efficient drive was when we had a couple runs that popped, and then we hit a couple action passes and ended up scoring on that drive when we started kind of backed up. The key is, you know, establishing that run. But we really stress teams out with their gap control, their eye discipline, and the angles that we're trying to create in our run game. And I like the progress. Even more, I like when I turn around and see 33 in there, and he's making those cuts that we're all used to seeing. And you saw a couple of them today. You know, he just has that little extra gear that we saw for a long time last year in training camp. And as the year went on, you know, he obviously took off for us.
And Aaron Jones does have that extra gear. There's no doubt about that. He was also asked, why isn't preseason play as important for him? Because, you know, when you talk about the practices versus play, there's a difference there.
I think it's the way we practice. You know, the way that we practice, we do a number of periods where it is a call it period, where it's an unscripted move the ball type, where he's calling the plays in. I have to get us obviously lined up and the play, you know, given to the guys in the right manner and alignments and assignments and movement and motion. And we've done a number of those periods. I think that's the work that gives you confidence that this is not going to be a growing process from a play caller to, you know, quarterback standpoint. You know, it is what it is. The preseason, you don't carry those wins over to the regular season. I do find it interesting that some teams get a pass this time of year. I mean, the Rams don't play anybody, and not many people talk about that fact. Now, the counter would be, well, this is a new system. I get it, but we've spent a number of practices now from May and June and training camp in July and now in August running this stuff, running unscripted periods where he has to call the play in. I mean, I feel very comfortable in the offense conceptually, philosophically, enunciating the plays, get us in the right formation, getting the checks within the play easily figured out. You know, I feel very comfortable with it. So if we didn't play, I'd feel great going into week one. if we did, I wouldn't really be worried too much about the results. I mean, if we go down and score a touchdown, it's not going to give me any more confidence than I already have in the scheme. If we go three and out, it's not going to dampen any confidence that I have in what we've established so far in the training camp practices.
There you go. So that's it. Boy, he almost sounds emphatic that he just doesn't want to play in preseason. I don't know what else to make of it. Also, what does he get out of the two-minute drill that they run in Matt LaFleur's offense?
Just the operation. Yeah, I think it's just the operation. And then being able to have calls come to your mind quicker. But it's always good to have... any two-minute drill you do, there's going to be different situations that come up that spark some good conversation afterwards. Why did you like this play in this situation? You clocked it after completion at 107 today. It took a while to get up there. It would have been better, we'll talk about this. It would have been better to just actually run a play in that situation instead of clock it. And I'll kind of go through what I've done over the years. He'll talk about what he would have liked there. And then we'll, remember that play for next time. But... It's the assignment part, being able to hear a call for the receivers and in 5 seconds execute that call very quickly. Like I started with a play out of a different formation. I put Gmo to the strengths, which we hadn't done before. And it's really testing those guys. Hey, usually on this play, you have an under and number two has an over, but we're flipping the play. Do you remember what the backside has on that play? So it's a test for those guys to get them locked in mentally. To me, there's never a wasted rep. There's never a throwaway like, oh, well, that one doesn't matter. If I can challenge somebody mentally or myself or the line, I'm going to do it. And jog through 60, 70%, movement, you have to do that. I mean, I do personally to challenge our guys. And so a number of the plays that we called are stuff that are newer plays to test them and their aptitude to get lined up and run the right routes. And I was, really really proud of the mental focus that we had in that period because I tested them for sure.
So there you go. That's Aaron Rodgers. Listen to this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear from Kevin Harlan coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Don't forget, the summer is winding down. I hate to say it, but even though it's winding down, we're still paying for that reformulated blend of fuel. So you can still save some gauge right now. Go with the ethanol. Unleaded 88, E85. If you've got a vehicle newer than 2001, go for it. E85, flex fuel vehicle, you can go for that as well. Check it out. It's going to save you a little bit of pain at the pump. It's a perfect time to try the unleaded 88 in your car. Perfect time to go with the flex fuel vehicle. Gasoline has additives to bring up the octane, and raw gas is only about 84, which is why the octane, which is ethanol, which is Corn Growers Association of Wisconsin, which is keeping the money right here, that's the reason you kind of jack it up a little bit. So find out all the facts. That's what we've been telling you about. Find out all of the facts. Go to wibiofuels.org. That's wibiofuels.org, and see for yourself what it is exactly I'm talking about. Kevin Harlan, CBS Packers Television Network. We were talking earlier about this dynamic between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. Way too much being made of this, right?
Well, he says he doesn't need to take preseason in-game snaps to be available for week one. It's a little bit different, of course, because there's a new coach and a new system and a new language. It is a new verbiage that they've had to work with. Of course, we know one of the smartest people any of us have ever interviewed before has been Aaron. He's just incredibly bright and can get anything so quickly. So for him, it's probably not that big an issue. To me, from the outside looking in, it's the tempo and the rhythm and all the things that are built into this offense that has been kind of moved around from Mike Shanahan to Kyle Shanahan to Sean McVay, and now to Matt LaFleur and Zach Taylor at the Bengals, that it relies a great deal on up-tempo and precision and acting as one. And the only time they've had a chance to do that is in practice. But as any quarterback will tell you, and Rodgers at the very head of the class in that conversation, that what we're seeing in the preseason is so vanilla and so basic, and basically is done to try out different guys individually at different positions, in different schemes, and in different situations. It really does not get to the core of what your offense or your defense is all about. So I think from an offensive perspective, what Aaron is saying is true. You know, perhaps, I think there was a story today maybe in the Journal Sentinel about playing in week one when you know the field conditions, you know the opponent, you know the home crowd, your everything is set for maybe a series or two just to work in some of the ways that this offense will, and then have the rest of the preseason to kind of work out the kinks and in practice, and then go from there, get an early taste of it. But they chose not to do that, and that's kind of the norm. So anyway, it does certainly, I think, add to a little bit of intrigue come September 5th at Soldier Field and how it's going to play out initially as it debuts in Chicago against the Bears.
What has stood out to you? I mean, there's a lot of things usually we look at, and there's these big stories in camp, and you're hearing so many other teams that are going through more turmoil than anything, but this camp has been somewhat quiet. The defense has, for the most part, been better than the offense. I know the offense keeps saying, hey, we're just getting into a rhythm. But what has stood out to you? Because, Kevin, people ask me all the time, why are they going to be better? And that's a great question, because they didn't really upgrade a ton of personnel for starters on the offensive side of the ball. Is it just scheme alone that's going to stand out and go, wow, now this offense begins to really roll?
Well, I would think that the number one thing for any GM and head coach is to make sure the back half of your roster is strong. Because, as we know, these teams, with all the different injuries they go through, are using 60, 65, 70 players at one time on their roster. Guys are jumping off and on from the practice squad, off the street, they're signed, whatever. So you're constantly dealing with revolving cast of characters, and sometimes even as starters, with your roster. So these games, to me, and the importance of them really lie in, you know, how deep and how effective are you going to build that practice squad? How good and effective will those last 5 to 7 guys on your roster be? And how easily will they be able to maneuver into a role of prominence on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whenever they're playing? And I would think that that's kind of what preseason has become, because no one is showing their hand in the preseason. Everyone is scared to death of injuries, and they want to make sure that if you're spending all this money and all these players, that there's some kind of a controlled feel to it, and that happens in practice. And that's when you show a lot of your cards. You show, and the defensive coordinator is trying to help his defense, but helping the offense see different looks and some complexity that you're not going to see in a preseason game. But the preseason is, I think now, is until it changes, and I hope it does, I think it's designed now more than anything else to find out what the back half of your roster looks like, who the third or fourth guy is going to be at a certain position, and how strong that practice squad can be that can be used to elevate guys as injuries, which are always going to happen, occur during the regular season. And I know it's not very sexy, and it's not fun for a lot of people to watch. For people who love pro football, it's a fascinating process what these guys go through, but a little bit dull, to be quite honest, and doesn't reveal a whole lot in what that team is going to be in the coming season.
How do you think, because I was saying the other day, after that first preseason game when Matt LaFleur was hit with a lot of questions about Aaron Rodgers and not playing, and Aaron's comments about, you know, not wanting the joint practices and such, I thought he did a magnificent job in saying, look, I understand Aaron can be a little bit bored because he can be extremely intelligent and get it, and he's a veteran, he doesn't need the reps. But then he went on to say, but the other 10 guys around him need to, and they need to get on the same page with him. I thought he's handled himself from the time he's had an opening presser to the time I've seen him out there as a coach to the time that I've seen him now command a press conference, a media session. He's grown exponentially.
Bill, I would agree. I would tell you that Rich Gannon and I for CBS had the Titans last year probably 3 or 4 times throughout the regular season. And we always talked to both coordinators, head coach, quarterback, and a couple players every session before the game. And Matt was incredibly guarded every time we talked to him. Congenial and nice, but he was certainly grouped into that Kyle Shanahan Zach Taylor, that young new coach, Sean McVay, kind of this new wave of offensive philosophy and thinking, and the trust now that I think that owners have with the younger coach was evident with McVay, and of course that's triggered all these other hirings. So I don't know if that was Mike Vrabel in the Patriot way of never showing your hand, but we never got really a lot of information about Marcus Mariota or anything about their team. And by the way, it took about mid-season until they actually kind of clicked in Tennessee offensively, and it really happened when the running game got going and when Derrick Henry began to run. When they got that running game going, that that team was different the second half of the season. That being said, I've met with them one time face-to-face for over a half hour. To me, seemed almost like a completely different guy, incredibly confident, knows what he wants to do, has enthusiastic assistants, I think relies on the defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, a great deal. That's going to be a wonderful relationship. I think he and Aaron, who are only separated by 3.5 years in age, are very much on the same page. I think that Rodgers, and this is not a knock on Mike, because McCarthy and what he did, those 13 years, there was a lot of good. In fact, most of it was good, and the offense in particular was good. But sometimes, as we find, even with radio stations we may work with or offices we work within, you know, the message can get stale, or the quarterback needs new challenges in this case, and maybe a new way of looking at things, and maybe to protect himself a little bit more, because as we know, there was so much off schedule and a lot of working outside the pocket, and Aaron was exposed. He was. Now he's 35, soon to be 36. And he's kind of at a different stage. And not saying that Mike wouldn't have changed things to do that. I'm sure he began doing that last couple of years, knowing how invaluable Rodgers was to the offense. But I do think that Zach, if anything, has given Aaron kind of a fresh, new, more engaged look at the offense. There's no doubt that he's going to revert to what he did under Mike. I mean, there's no question that he's going to be up there, and he's going to sometimes take it in his own hands and revert to what he did, where he was so effective. But what this might do is keep him in the pocket, get the receivers open a little bit more, maybe avoid some hits, keep the tempo up. Rodgers has said, this is the kind of offense I want to play in. It seems good, and it seems like the head coach and the quarterback, and that's the most important relationship you have in that building, regardless of what anybody else is, and owner, president, it is the head coach and the quarterback. And as long as they are on the same page, and it certainly appears these two are, that is about the best thing you can take out of this camp when things are new and a lot of opinions are being formed.
There you go, Kevin Harley. You can catch the full interview by going to radio.com or to BillMichaelsSports.com, and you can check it out there for yourself. You joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. More of the Bill Michaels Show, wrapping it up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Good stuff from Mike Clemens, as always. We certainly appreciate Mike's efforts. Coming up tomorrow on the program, looking back at Game 2 between the Brewers and the Cardinals and setting you up for Game 3, we're going to talk about all the pennant races in Major League Baseball. Seth Evans, our National Baseball Insider, is going to be here. We'll get back into the discussion with the Green Bay Packers as well. Aaron Rodgers, will he or will he not play? And what you're looking for coming into Game 3 as we start getting you ready for the Packers and the Oakland Raiders in Winnipeg at Canada. That's going to be upcoming tomorrow, plus anything else that happens to come our way. As always, my thanks to everybody involved in the program. Thanks to Craig and Robert from Wisconsin Harley-Davidson coming in studio. Matt Kenseth joining us. Also, the great Kevin Harlan, who is listening from his home in Door County from our mighty WMAM affiliate up there in Menominee and Marinette. Thanks to him for joining us as well. And thanks to you. It's time for us to get out of here. Don't forget, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. You can get registered for the motorcycle ride, see all the details there. You can find out everything about the program, listen to the podcast, all the downloads. It's all right there. Again, go to Bill Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S, BillMichaelsSports.com. Time for us to go. Have a go.
Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.